Okay, thank you everyone for coming. So some of you know who Reb Shapton Neuberger was, and some of you don't. Those that were near Yisrael obviously knew him. Most of you probably knew Reb Shapton's father, Reb Naftali Neuberger, Herman Neuberger. But for those of us that went to near Yisrael, Reb Shapton was the one who, the whole Yom Nuraim, the whole davening, leading the season of the Yom Nuraim, along with Purim, Lag BaOmer, many other times during the year, made a major impact on our lives. That was me as a bacher. My father told me, every time he saw Reb Shapton said, I love Dallas. He had so much nice things to say about Dallas. He loved the Dallas community. And Baruch Hashem, we have with us tonight Shelly Rosenberg, who knew him in one generation, Avi Honigsfeld, Reb Avi Honigsfeld, in another generation. And they're both going to share with us some remembrance of what they have of Reb Shapton. And at the end, we're going to have a short video from his son, Reb Baruch Neuberger, who's the new president and manal of the yeshiva. And just 2 weeks ago, it's Parsha Ki Sisa. Right before Moshe throws down the luchos, he says, and the luchos was Maisa Elokim. It was a beautiful thing, the luchos. It was written by Hashem, and the Torah describes the luchos. And I saw in a sefer, Shemin HaTov, who says, when would you expect the Torah to describe the luchos? Earlier, by the Aseret HaDibros. Why now? Right before he gets rid of it, now he tells us how beautiful it was. And he says, the Shemin HaTov says, because very often in life, only when you lose something, do you really appreciate what you had. Right away, I was thinking, Reb Shapton, you know, so many times I wish I would have just talked to him more. You know, Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet to have him a few times here in Dallas, but he was such a wonderful person. And we'll share some divrei zichronos that we can take with us. So I'll call him first, Shelly Rosenberg, to share some words.
Thank you. So I want to make a quick disclaimer that when I came to Neir Yisrael, I did not have Reb Shapton as a Rebbe. At that time, he was a 12th grade Rebbe, and I was already in the base medrash. I think I came in fourth year base medrash. When I left Neir Yisrael, I don't know if it was either right before or right after I left, that's when he became the Sagan Menahel, the assistant Menahel, to assist his father. But my dealings with him were mostly in the later years, you know, with regard to community issues and fundraising. Although, you know, I knew him on yeshiva and we were friendly. And of course, you know, you heard his davening, and I think he gave me a tape so that I could daven 1 year Rosh Hashanah here in Dallas. But really my interactions with him was more when he was already a leader. So I want to make 3 points. The first point by far is that he was a quiet leader that kept the place going and allowed it to succeed. If you're going to have a world-class institution like Neir Yisrael, where you have, you know, Rosh Yeshiva and excellent Rebbeim, and have you ever been to Neir Yisrael? The facilities are phenomenal, okay? It just doesn't happen in a vacuum, okay? In order for the staff, the Rebbeim, the Rosh Hashiva, to succeed, in order to have the facilities that they are, you have to have a leader who makes it happen, who administrates and makes sure that all the resources are there so that these people can go ahead and succeed in their jobs. And Reb Shapton was that leader. He was the one that allowed the Rosh Hashiva, the Rebbeim, the Kollel, and the Talmidim he took care of all their needs. And he made sure that they had what they needed so that they could succeed at their job, so that the students will have the best experience. And without, you know, I think sometimes especially in Jewish institutions, we take management a little bit, we don't take it as serious, but it's a very important thing to make sure that all the parts are working in unison, okay? So Rav Shefto was that person, and he did it in anivus, with tremendous humbleness. He made sure that things flourished, that they ran well, but he kept a very low profile, okay? He didn't, you know, attract any PR or any fanfare. He was just in this quiet, unassuming way, okay? He was the person who made it happen. And, you know, he was very smart, as with the Neubergers and his father, Rebbe Tully, that they found good people and they delegated, okay? And it was not only with regard to the Rebbeim and the Rosh Hashivas, but he also had his son, Rav Baruch, and he had other wonderful people like Jerry Cadden, David Friedman, Bill Goldberg, all the people in the fundraising office. They brought in good people. They let them do their job, okay? They supported them, and the place, you know, ran, you know, very well. But the main thing is that Rav Shechtel was the glue that kept it all together, okay? He made sure that everything, that the resources were there, people had what they needed to do what they needed to do properly. And, you know, he was both the energy and the glue that kept the yeshiva together. So, and he did it in a very unassuming way. It didn't attract any fanfare or PR. So that's the first point, his leadership, a quiet leadership. The second thing that I felt was important about Rav Shechtel is his engagement with others. And I mean with other parts of the, both the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world. One of my concerns, I guess today maybe, is that the yeshiva world has become so big and so successful that we sort of take our success for granted, okay? And maybe we don't engage with other Jews or with non-Jews because, you know, we're to a certain extent, you know, we've made it, at least our communities are successful. And what I always found as a plus about Neir Yisrael and with the Neuberger family, and this was always with Rav Naftali Neuberger and continued with Rav Shechtel, is that they always engaged in all the different facets of the Frum community, in the non-Frum Jewish community, and even in the non-Jewish community, okay? They participated, they were there. And I remember, you know, one time talking to Rabbi Herman Neuberger a little bit about, and, you know, it was just interesting that he would engage these people and be their friends, but at the same time, he had no problem explaining what our hashkafas were, what do we believe in halacha, and in a very nice way that, you know, this is what we believe in, but we respect you and we still care about others. And it's to me that, you know, when I see like in a recent mishpach, I think it was last week or this week, the front cover was, you know, why are there negative, I don't remember the exact name, the negative perceptions of religious Haredim or something like that. I don't think that ever was an issue with Neir Yisrael and in Baltimore, because they engaged, okay? I saw in the Hesped that the mayor, who just got elected last year, you know, he came to, you know, to the Neubergers for an endorsement, and he appreciated their support. And I personally, with the dean of my law school, Dean Larry Katz, who I went to University of Baltimore, so Dean Katz was very close to Rabbi Herman Neuberger. He did a lot of community things for the Frum community through Federation there and everything. And he told me, it was an interesting story. He said there was a time, this was maybe about 10 years ago, that the Federation there wanted to work on building up the skills of schools and their administration and management and stuff like that. And they paid for a consultant or whatever. I think it came out of maybe YU. I don't remember, to work with the schools. And they wanted all the schools in the city, Jewish schools, to participate. And he told me that Rav Schechtel was there with his people and they participated in this whole thing. And, you know, first of all, if you knew the Neuburgers, I mean, they knew how to run a place, okay? They didn't need management skills, okay? They didn't need to be taught management. They knew management. They could teach you management, okay? But the point was, he wanted to be engaged with the community and he participated, okay? And we all know, of course, that that Neri Yisrael and the Rav Schechtel was very involved in communities like Dallas, Cincinnati, the smaller. So there was always a concern. The last point, which I wanted to mention about Rav Schechtel, nothing was too big or too small for him, meaning that whether there were problems with Klal Yisrael or the Baltimore community or just a Bachur Yeshiva had an issue, he was willing to deal with it, okay? And it reminds me, just like his father, Rav Naftali, anyone could knock on the door in the middle of the day or the middle of the night and ask for help. Okay, the same thing was with Rav Schechtel, okay? He was never too busy, and it didn't make a difference if, you know, you were just a buffer, you know, in the yeshiva and had an issue, you know, this or that. He took out the time at the same effort as he might be dealing with a community issue. So just in summary, he was a great leader who led in a quite unassuming way. And organizations, big institutions like a Neri Yisrael, a successful institution, like, you need these people who are the backbone and keep it going, so that all the talented people in these organizations can continue to do what they're doing.
Thank you very much. And Rav Avi Honigsfeld, who leads Richardson community here in Dallas, share some words.
Shus, everyone here and everyone watching. There's a fascinating medrash. A lot of the Mefarshim are bothered by, we don't know a lot about Moshe Rabbeinu's life after he left Egypt as a young boy. Most of what we know, that he was a shepherd for his father-in-law's sheep and his cattle. And then all of a sudden the verse introduces Hashem by the burning bush, by the snare. Hashem comes to Moshe. And the Medrash says, what was it about Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem chose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader of Klal Yisrael? The Medrash says like this, Hashem tested Moshe through the cattle, through the sheep, through the goats that he was watching. When Moshe Rabbeinu was taking care of his father-in-law's flock in the desert, there was one goat that ran away. And it ran, and Moshe Rabbeinu was running after it, trying to catch it. And it finally got to a body of water. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see that this goat was very thirsty and started drinking up a lot of water. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Kevin Shigim Moshe, it's lo amar, ani lo yisi yodeh sheratza yisim ibnei tzama ayayif ata." He said, "I didn't realize that you were so thirsty, running to water." And Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad. And he says, "You must be so tired that you didn't have water, and you ran so far to find some water." Here, Kirvo al Ksefo v'hayim mahalich. Moshe Rabbeinu lifted the gedi, lifted the goat on his shoulders, and brought him back to the rest of the flock, so he wouldn't have to tire himself anymore. Amar Kosh Baruch Hashem said, "Yesh lecha rachmim minhuk tzayno. I see how compassionate you are to one little sheep, one little goat that ran away. Ata tirat tzayni Yisrael. I want you to be the shepherd of my sheep, of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash, I think, is teaching us is that, to echo some of the beautiful words from Rav Shelley, that to be a leader, to be a Jewish leader, it's not just about Klal Yisrael. It's not just about the whole entire flock. It's about each and every sheep. And that was what Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem saw Moshe Rabbeinu, that he wasn't just going to be a leader about the Klal. He was going to be a leader for each individual. To the extent where Moshe Rabbeinu, towards the end of his life, on his final moments, Hashem shows him the land of Eretz Yisrael, and he knows he's going to be passing away, he's going to be leaving. What Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about, Pesukim in Pinchas, he says that, who's going to succeed me? Who's going to lead the Jewish people after me? In a very fascinating way that Moshe refers to Hashem. The Pasuk says, Yifkod Hashem Elokei Ruchas L'Kol Basar, Ish Al Eida. Hashem should appoint a leader, but he refers to Hashem as Elokei Ruchas L'Kol Basar. Hashem, who knows the spirits of L'Kol Basar, of every single person. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Hashem was the Bairi Olam. He created the entire world. He created the entire universe. But not only that, he's Elokei Ruchas L'Kol Basar. He knows every single person individually and cares about each person individually. And Rashi says over there that that's what Moshe was asking. I want the next leader of the Jewish people to not only care about the Klal, not to care about everyone, Klal, but to care about each individual. He should know them personally and should take care of them on a personal level. There's a fascinating blessing. Halacha is, if you're in a room with 600,000 Jews, so there's a blessing we make, a unique blessing. Baruch atah Hashem lekeinu melech haolam chacham harazim. Hashem knows all the secrets. So it's an interesting blessing. The Mefarshim are bothered by it. What kind of blessing is that? You would think that you see 600,000 people, the bracha should be what a gathering this is. What an unbelievable moment, 600,000 Jews together. I think the secret is that in a room that's 600,000 people, what's unique and special is Hashem knows the secrets of each single person, and Hashem knows each person individually of that room. That's what's unique. That's what's special about it. And that's what it means to be a Jewish leader. It's to care. It's not only to be caring about taking care of everything in the yeshiva, everything for Klal Yisrael, but to take care of everything on a personal level, on each individual. And I think this embodies who Rav Shechter was. The last 30 days, I'm sure all of us have got to hear some hespedim. And we all know anyone who experienced it knew how amazing, what a public, amazing figure Rav Shechter was, how much he tuoffed, how much he accomplished for the yeshiva. Had thousands and thousands of students pass by. How much he did for Klal Yisrael. At the Levaya, at his funeral, he had leaders of the Jewish community from all walks in America talking about how they would turn to Rav Shechter, how Rav Shechter helped all of them. But at the same time, I want to share a couple of stories personally with Rav Shechter that he cared about the individual. That when I merited to learn in Neir Yisrael, when Rav Shechter was running the yeshiva for many years. And when I was a bacher there living in the dorms, I contracted a fungus on my foot living in the dorms there. And like all good bacherim, I didn't take care of it. I pushed it off for as long as possible until one day it was just too irritating. I couldn't delay it anymore. And I'm a boy from Long Island, New York. Didn't know much about Baltimore. Never really left the yeshiva so much. I didn't know where to go, what to do. So I figured, I'll go to the office. I'm going to ask the secretary if she has any recommendations. So I go to the office. I'm talking to the secretary, telling her the story a little bit. All of a sudden, Rav Shechter's office was right around the hallway there. I hear he screams out from his hallway, "Come into my office." So I go into his office. He said, "What's going on, Avi?" I tell him what's going on. He's like, "One second." He picks up the phone, makes a phone call. We get a voicemail. He said, "Dr. Tagerstein, it's the Shechter Neuberger. I need a favor. Please call me back." Hangs up, we're schmoozing. Less than a minute later, the phone rings. I'm like, this is pretty cool. You know, like a minute later, you know, you have the doctor calling you back. Rav Shechter, he says, "What can I do?" I said, "I'm here with a bacher. He has something with his foot. Can you make time to see him?" He was a local podiatrist. He said, "Sure, Rav Shechter, anything for you." So he says, "Can you take him in?" He says, "Yeah, tell him to come in right away." So I go straight from Rav Shechter's office. I go there. He treats me like a king. doesn't charge me, takes care of me. And he felt like I was doing him the greatest favor that I got Rav Schechtel to call him. And he, you know, that's how Rav Schechtel made everyone feel. He got a phone call from Rav Schechtel, even if it was to take care of a bacher. But I know, like what Shelly was saying before, I don't know what he was doing at those moments, but I can imagine that he was taking care of much more important things than the fungus on a bacher's foot. But he cared just as much as he was caring about thousands and thousands of people in Klal Yisrael, taking care of the yeshiva and everything. He cared about my foot, and he was concerned, and he would follow up with me if it's getting better. Another thing, I was my wife and I were zocher. Rav Schechtel was our Masader Kedushin. He married us, and it wasn't so easy for him. We got married in Long Island, and from the yeshiva, it's over a 4-hour drive away. And he came together with his son-in-law, my Rebbe, Rav Tzvi Krakauer, and it's pretty classic to happen on the way from Baltimore to New York. You get stuck in pretty bad, heavy New York traffic. And that's what happened. It was a summer day. And they were very late. And the 4-hour trip turned into a much longer trip. And they missed the whole first part of the wedding, the smorgasbord and the chassan's dish. And just as the chuppah was about to start, they, Baruch Hashem, they showed up and Rav Schechtel was able to be Masader Kedushin. And I know that he was exhausted after a long trip like that, didn't eat anything, came, missed the food. And after the first dance, Rav Schechtel had, I've been to a couple weddings that he's done this at. He sat me and my wife down on the dance floor, gathered around like 20 bachrim, and he started a kumtis and singing. And it was one of the most beautiful parts of our wedding. And I'll never forget it. And he didn't have to do it. And I know he was tired and hungry. That's just when they started bringing out the first course. And he didn't care. If he, you know, he knew if he could bring a little bit more simcha to a chassan and kala, he didn't care that he just drove 5-6 hours and was exhausted and tired and hungry. He's going to do what it takes to give someone a little bit, one person, a little bit more simcha. A couple of years ago, I was zeicha again to take a couple of community members here in Dallas, a couple of my talmidim to Neir Yisrael to the yeshiva for Shabbos, and Rav Schechtel was very involved in arranging it together with Rav Baruch, and it was a trip to expose a lot of the Dallas community members to what the beauty of Neir Yisrael and the beauty of that Jewish community, to see what it's all about. Most of them have never seen a yeshiva before. And that Shabbos, I was zeicha with two guys from Dallas to sleep in Rav Schechtel's house. And it was an amazing Shabbos, one I hope I never forget, and I still get chizik from it, thinking about it. But one thing that stands out to me is the care and concern that Rav Schechtel had for every single detail that we were comfortable that Shabbos, sleeping in his house. And that he would stay up after the Suda Friday night, we ate at his house, we would sit there till late hours of the night, and he was very, very engaged with all the Dallas students and asking them where they're from and getting to know them and genuinely caring. And I remember waking up Shabbos morning, Rav Schechtel's waiting for us. We were in the basement. He would come up. He's waiting for us in the kitchen, seeing how we slept, if we slept well, if he could offer us anything to eat, if he could make us a coffee. And this is Rav Schechtel offering some little Dallas people coming to visit. We were young guys, but he taking care of us, and he made us feel like we were kings and we were his children. And I think that's the reason why he did that. He felt like we were his children. And these people, he was going to be people that he never seen again the rest of his life. And he treated them so special, so preciously. One last thing I would like to share is that one of the highlights of the last 10 years myself living in Dallas here is the occasional trip that Rav Schechtel would happen around once or every year, once every other year. He would come for a simcha or a Shabbos of chizik. He would come to Dallas. And every single time he would plop himself, come into the base medrash, come into the data, and he would schmooze with the guys, share different tire with us. And he was always so excited, and it was such a highlight for all of us. We were all so excited. And looking back, I think why he did that was he wanted to give us all chizik. He wanted to show us that he's makshiv, he appreciates and he likes it and what we're all doing here. And as a father, as our father from yeshiva, that he is proud of us. And he instilled that message into all of us. And we all felt that that love from him. I remember him sharing with us that one of those trips in the Beis Medrash that he was just coming from, I think it was Odessa, Texas. And we said, what's in Odessa, Texas? He said, there's an almana, a widow there, that every time he comes to Texas, he tries to visit her. He doesn't really know her so well, but she writes a letter to the yeshiva every year. She appreciates it. She gets their calendar, and she doesn't have any connection here. And he would go out of his way to Odessa. I don't know how far it is. Where's Odessa? It's far away from Dallas. And he would travel, rent a car and travel to this one individual widow that no one ever knows. If anyone knows who it was, he could just share who it was and we could maybe carry on the legacy and go visit her. But that was Rav Shechtel. He cared about each individual. And when we started Richardson around 3 years ago, the community of Richardson, so the yeshiva was a very big part of it. We would get Eitzah advice and bracha, and we'd ask a lot of our questions to the yeshiva, and specifically Rav Shechtel's son-in-law, Rav Tzvi Krakauer. And Tzvi Krakauer would always tell us, and he came to Richardson twice. He stayed for a Shabbos, was at our Achas Sefer Torah, and he always told us that Rav Shechtel always encouraged him that he should go to Richardson, and that he was so proud of what we're doing here, and that he was so proud every time he would come visit us. And we're just like, it's one little guy, two little people in Richardson, Texas, of all the tens of thousands of students that Neirsel produced, and he had such a love. He made us feel like we were the most important people in his life. And that's how I think everyone who came into contact with him felt. And that was the godless of Rav Shechtel, that as much as he was doing for the Klal Yisrael, he cared so much about the individual, each person that came into contact with him and fell with him. And Shavi Yisrus, Yizichro Baruch, thank you.
We're just going to show a short video from Rav Baruch Neuberger that he made. Let's hold on 1 second. Yeah, I guess now.
Kvayd Maranam v'Rabbanan, Choshev Tamidei HaYeshiva. Is a schus to be able to share with you some divrei zichreinus about Avi Meiri, Hareni Kaparas Mishkavai, as we approach the Shleishim. I said over last week that Halacha really is, or it's probably a machaikas, but the psak for my mishpacha was that in Shleishim Yom Kina Machag we should not share divrei hesped, and therefore I'm going to stick with that psak and rather focus on divrei zichreinus and try to talk about my father, Zecharen Levracha, from the perspective of a son who had the Gevaldig Schus to work with him and with Meizeda Zatzal as well. And I want to start with a Maisa that happened on the day that my grandfather, Rav Naftali Neuberger Zatzal, was Nifter. My grandfather was Nifter Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos in 2005. And most of the mishpacha found out about the p'tira. It was already Shabbos. And I remember walking on Yeshiva Lane with my children, devastated at the basura, and bumping into my father in his frack in Hamburg, walking out of his townhouse. And when he saw us coming, he had a big smile on his face. And he said to my two children, "Today is Shabbos. And in Shabbos, there's no Avelis. Shabbos is Shabbos." I always was aimed on the Mishnah de Gevura that such a move took to be able to turn such a moment into a teaching lesson for his children, for his Einaklach, of how one is Neheg in every matzav with the Anhaga of Halacha, with the Anhaga of the Messiah that he saw and he learned and he imbibed from his Gresa Choshev Talmidim. So with that in mind, I'm certainly going to stick to Divrei Zichronos, because that is the Halacha and that is the Psak and Anhaga that was given over to us. Perhaps the best way for me to describe, to share Zichronos, is to talk briefly about the various tkufis of my father's life and how that impacted him and by extension impacted us, his Talmidim, Talmidei HaYeshiva, and people at large that he interacted with on behalf of the yeshiva or otherwise. My father grew up in a very, very unique and special environment. He was surrounded by Gedolei Torah. He was surrounded by people who were yoinik and imbibed and shared the Mahalach of Slabodka, from the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, who was a massive influence on my father, someone who my father lived with his whole life, to his Baba, the Baba Dvaira, Shaftel Kramer's Almana, who he lived with for most of his years of growing up in my grandparents' home. She was a fixture in the house, to my grandparents themselves. Those influences had a very, very big impact on his development years of Grace Kaiten Taira, Grace Kaiten Godless Adam, and the ability, I would say, to see past oneself into other people, to the Grace Kite of other people, whether the Grace Kite was in Taira, whether the Grace Kite was in Anhaga, in Chesed, and all the attributes and milas that became part of him during his formative years. He had a very special, unique relationship with the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, like he had with many of his Rebbeim. The Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Weinberg had a major influence on him. He was extremely close to Rabbi David Zatzal. He was extremely close to Rabbi Kalevsky. All these personalities and Grace Sakaychis that existed in Yeshiva Sneri Yisrael had a profound influence on him. And he used to talk about all the time how the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal was able to bring in so many diverse kaiches with different, who were nischanech and different batei medrash, with different influences, and how much that shaped the Talmidim to have a broad spectrum of how big Torah is, how endless Torah is, how deep Torah is, and how much one can inculcate in themselves the grace kite of Torah that were representative of all these different kaiches. And had a big impact on him at a very young age. My father, as was said in many, many hespedim, my father was a mayordika leader. He was a mayordika presence, always filled with confidence. I don't think I ever saw him without any confidence. Always mole confidence and always mole chayin, always mole simcha, happy, excited, invigorated, full of energy. Coupled with an incredible anava, he always had space for other people. He was as besimcha with someone else's shtickle tayr and chiddush as he was with his own. Said over, one of my sisters lives in Lakewood. There's a young, very chashuva rav in Lakewood. His name is Rav Avram Kammer. Those of you who know, great the Talmud Chacham. Whenever we used to hear from him, Motzai Shabbos, if he was in Lakewood for Shabbos, the first thing out of his mouth is, Avrami Kammer gezakt das agavaldige chiddush. The simcha, the joy that he had in someone else's taira was equal to the joy he had in his egen taira. And he infused his chaverim, he infused younger bacharim, he infused his talmidim, and he infused talmidei ha-yeshiva and donors to the yeshiva constantly with that gishmak. It was said over during Shiva by a Talmud of the yeshiva who came to the yeshiva in 1962. My father was a 19-year-old bacher, and he came to ninth grade in yeshiva. And the first night he was there, Shaftal Neuberger came into the Mechina Beis Medrash with a group of bacherim and set up chavrusa shafts between the elder bacherim and the younger bacherim, because he saw the impact that having an elder bacher was a little bit more experienced in learning, was holding a little higher aman taira, could have on a younger bacher. What is today part and parcel of the chinuch of Ner Yisrael was an initiative that Reb Shaftal, that Avi Meiri took on by himself as a 19-year-old bacher in yeshiva. The leadership, the achrayis, the ruach that he imparted in the yeshiva, even in a very, very young age. His confidence, his lack of self, and his meir dikachuka for Torah allowed him to absorb Torah for many, many different mitzvahs and many, many different experiences in his life. When he was a younger man in Eretz Yisrael, he lived in Eretz Yisrael, Sacha Koyel, a year and a half in Koyel. During those years, during those tkufas, he was Yainik from Nochem Partzovitz, he was Yainik from Chatzkel Abramsky, and many other Gedolei Torah, and Chaverim, Yedidim, who were Yedidei Nefesh for the rest of his life, even though the amount of time he spent in Eretz Yisrael was not particularly long. He just had a way of connecting to people in such a powerful way that it was meaningful to him and meaningful to them in a very, very powerful way. As a Rebbe, 16 years, he was zeicha to be a Maggid Shir in Yeshivas Ner Yisrael in various shiurim, first year base matters, 12th grade, how he was maimed talmidim, expanded their minds, expanded their godless b'tayra, was metapel with them in so many different ways. Very, very powerful. We grew up, my brother and I, and my older siblings grew up in 401 Yeshiva Lane, for those of you who remember, third floor. Our house was always abuzz with Talmidei HaYeshiva. There were always Bacharim in our house. Shmoozing with my mother, shmoozing with my father. Our house was full of Bacharim. It was a full-time, 365-day-a-year, 24/7 operation of being metapel with Talmidim, which never stopped, even after the years that he stopped saying Shir and moved on to his role as the first Sekhar Menal in Yeshiva, Menal in Yeshiva. Always being metapel with Bacharim, always having that relationship where he can impart and be mechazik bacharim. One of the Talmidim, actually a group of Talmidim, told us over, they were in my father's shir in 12th grade from Masechtas Bava Basra. In the beginning of the year, he challenged the Olam to finish the ganze Masechta. But he didn't just challenge them. He said chaburis to them in every perek in Bava Basra. And a kfutz of those bacharim were kaina gantz mesechdes bava basra in 12th grade with chaburis from their Rebbe. Because it wasn't just about motivating them, it was about showing them and being mechanech them and being along with them for the ride of in their kinyan atayra and their godless atayra. In his later years, when he assumed achrayis, first assisting Maizeda in running the yeshiva, and later on taking on the Christ by himself, it was always with vigor and emotion and positivity, always with a vart and taira. I don't remember ever walking into an office of anybody on behalf of the yeshiva, whether the person was a ben taira, a bal yeshiva, someone who was holding shtark and learning, to a balabas who had no shaykhis whatsoever to taira, always finding the right vart and taira, the right message, whether it was a Dvar Halacha, a Dvar Hashkafa, something in Chumash, to talk to them about. And to be meroimim, the whole conversation, that it wasn't just about the donation, it was about the connection, that personal kesher with Torah, using Torah as that experience. And it wasn't just in Torah. It was in all mitzvahs of the world, in all different kinds of topics. My father could converse with people on everything. There wasn't a topic that he wasn't comfortable talking about. He walked into somebody's office, somebody's business, he can converse with them intelligently in where they were holding and what was going on in their world, in their lives, and always imparting some insight, some perspective into what was doing in their world. what was doing in their life, what was doing in their orbit. He used to always say, people have to have the ability to see past themselves and see what's doing by somebody else. And he lived that. He lived that in such a real way that he was able to use that kayach to benefit people and to benefit the Maisid Yeshivas Ner Yisrael that he loved so much. Something that has come to light to me and to many of my siblings is the amount of yechidim that he was involved with. People we didn't even know he was involved with. I've gotten numerous phone calls from the tzrachim, from all kinds of people, from all kinds walks of life, who missed that kesher, who missed that person who used to give them lend his ear to hear their tzaras, to help them in so many different ways. As a matter of fact, there's one particular person who I just learned about literally in the last few weeks, who my father started taking care of after my grandfather was nifter, because my grandfather took care of this person. He's an older person today, someone who's been on Nitzach for many, many years, has need a lot of support. And my father yarshin that shtala for my grandfather, which shouldn't be surprising to any of us. Never knew about it, never heard about it, he never discussed it. I only know about it because this gentleman's been calling me and talking to me now. Part of the Yerusha that he left to us to continue in his Gevaldige Avodas HaKadosh and use our place in Yeshiva and what Yeshivas Ner Yisrael stands for to not only be Mekadeshim Shemayim within the Dalek Kaisley based Medrash of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, but to Mekadeshim Shemayim across the United States of America and across the world with the unique Ner Yisrael Mahalach of Grace Kite and Taira and Achrayas for the Tzivar and the Yachid. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing your Divrei Zechrinus. I look forward to hearing them.
Okay, thank you everyone for coming. Again, Shkayach to Shelly and Ravavi, and should be a meal teacher for all of us. Thank you, everyone.